Well, I don't intend to preach tonight. We sang and preached and testified and did both things we knew how to do last night.
So,
we planned.
We'd like for you to sing.
Well, I wished you had a piano because I'm afraid my wife couldn't play that organ, and there's a couple of songs that she can't play on the accordion. And
are you good at acapella, brother?
Well, you got some music. I tell you what, it's not hard for me. I don't offend anybody, but my wife and I were born and raised in Church of Christ, and so singing without a piano is no problem.
Praise the Lord Jesus. It's great when Church of Christ gets saved. Amen.
Well, I tell you what, one thing I've enjoyed since I've been saved and become a Baptist. Just didn't say that. Well, anyway, I'm happy for the family of God. I can fellowship with any of you if you've been born again. But anyway, I appreciate the piano, being able to use a piano. It sort of helps the music a little bit. I tell you what, you know, like I say, last night we did our best to try to express to you our concern. And, you know, as I said not long ago, we had to sit down and decide within ourselves whether it was worth the cost that we might have to pay as far as comfort and a few things like that, had to count the cost whether it was worth winning the loss to the Lord Jesus full time. And I believe it's worth the cost,
Amen.
Brother. I really do. And I think each one of us ought to decide in our own hearts and our own minds that we ought to be able to win the lost at any cost. I believe that with
Amen.
All my heart. Well, we'll try it. No, it's okay. If I mess up, I won't mess up anyway, so it didn't matter. As we look around us, all the fields are white, ripen unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. There's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Go from sin, day's almost done, Lord, sinks the sun, souls are crying, men are dying, win the lost at any cost. Check your full, my Christian, are the children in? Are there yet some straying in the blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them, go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost gone, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying, win the lost at any cost. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, as this brother's preaching, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of degrees that men can earn in the secular world. BAs and MAs and MDs and ODs and a little bit of everything. And even in the religious world, you can THBs and DDs and all that, but I was just thinking, as he is preaching, I'm anxious for the Lord to one day to bestow upon me that WD degree.
Amen.
Where he says, well done,
amen,
thy good and faithful servant. Amen.
Amen.
That's going to be the degree that all of us look for. But you know, because of Jesus and because of what the Lord Jesus has done for me and done for you, and what we must realize, he done it for those out there too.
Amen.
Because of what he has done for me, one day I can stand before God just as though I had never sinned one sin.
Amen.
Now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'd have to say, Paul, I'm chiefest of sinners. But that day I can stand before God as though I had never sinned one sin. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed
Amen.
Me
Amen.
From every sin ever I committed.
Amen.
And I can stand there just as clean, my soul just as clean and white as snow because of what he did for me. Amen?
Amen.
And I like what this brother said about the blind man. He said, well, I don't understand it all. But once I was blind, now I see. That I understand. Amen. I don't understand how God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can regenerate one and make one a new creature and make him born again into the family of God. I might not understand all about it, but once I was a jailbird, now I'm not. Amen.
Amen.
So that much I understand, that God can and does change lives when he comes into them. I mean, there's nothing as big as God can get in you and nothing happen. I mean, there's bound to be a change.
Amen.
Just bound to be. Well, say I wasn't going to preach, and it's hard not to sometime. And I do want to say this before I share with you a couple of things. I appreciate very much your pastor asking us to come to this mission conference. I've learned a whole bunch of things last couple of days. I'll not share them with you now, but I've learned a couple of things, and I appreciate the informality. I appreciate the down-to-earthness. I appreciate your letting us have seemingly all the time we want. I went to Mission Conference in Odessa a month before last, and those fine folks support us. But he had a program lined up, and it was a pretty large church, and he had several missionaries, and I could understand his problem. But when I got there, I said, well, brother, I said, we can preach, we can sing, we can show slides, whatever you want us to do. And he said, I want you to preach, I want you to sing, I want you to show your slides. Do anything you want to do in 20 minutes. Amen.
And, do all of you can.
So we chose to just preach. But anyway, I appreciate the opportunity that I have been afforded to come here. And I certainly appreciate the blessings that I have received and the things that I have learned. I appreciate the message that Brother Bill preached last night too.
Amen.
And anyway, I do want to share a couple of things with you that the Lord, I guess maybe I have preached these things here and there and hither and scatter and believe these things, but they never got together like this before. But I'd like to ask you first, how many of you have read the copy of the mission facts that's back there on the table? Almost. Has everybody read it? Well, some of you hadn't. Good. I'm glad you hadn't. I'm going to read it to you. I appreciate this. I like this information, and I'm taking for granted that it's accurate, and I'm sure it is. You wouldn't have it back there. I always like facts and figures, and I often wonder how these guys get these facts and figures, but if they're smart enough to get them, I'm smart enough to use them. Amen? It's not always what you know, but it's where you can go and get what you need to know. But anyway, it talks about the exploding population. It says the population of the world is doubling every 40 years. And in the time of Christ, there were about 250 million people, or about a quarter of a billion people, in the world. In 1650, this number had grown to 500 million, or about a half a billion. By 1850, it had reached the first billion. It took over 5,000 years for the population to reach the first billion people. And you know, it's only been about 130 years from that first billion. But anyway, it took 8 years to reach the second billion, took 30 years to reach the third billion. In 1975, it reached 4 billion mark. And by the year 2000, it is estimated there will be over 6 billion people on the face of the earth. The advance of the gospel has not kept up with the exploding population. In 1960, 8% of the people in the world were nominal Protestants, and that's not saying much for even those folks.
Right.
In 1975, this number dropped to 4%, and by the year 2000, only 2% of the people in the world will be nominal Protestants, and if you was to pin them down to fundamental people, it'd be a whole lot less percentage than that. But, you know, we look around us and we see hundreds and thousands even here in this town that are lost without Christ. And it seems like there's no hope to even to reach those folks. I mean, if you look at it in one direction, I mean, here that seemingly no one has reached, and yet the world population is just doubling and doubling and doubling, and seems like there's less and less missionary work going on. Doesn't seem like the odds work out very good, does it?
Right.
And talking about languages, I pronounced that this afternoon, but have discovered there are over 3,200 languages in the world. Two-thirds of the people in the world speak at least one of the top 25. 25% of the people speak with one of the top 132 languages. This means that 5% speak the remaining 3,068 languages. But don't be hasty to brush off these 200 million people, most of whom have never heard of the name Jesus.
Right.
Chinese is the top language in the world with about 600 million speakers. English is the second with about 400 million. Spanish is the third with 300 million. Hindu is fourth with 280 million. And Russia is fifth with 200 million. The entire Bible has been published in 236 languages. A part of the Bible has been published in 1,232 languages. This means that there are 1,968 languages in which none of the Bible has been published. And can you imagine that many people in this world that have never seen a copy of the Word of God? And if they've never seen, and if they've never had anybody to tell them, there's no way they can be saved.
That's right.
Why? Because they must believe it, and they can't believe it unless they've heard it.
That's
Amen.
Right.
But my, that's something. And so I think there right there is a basis for missions. Now, I've had folks, I was telling a preacher today, and I'll keep my eye on time. I know I'm anxious to hear this brother preach, but I was telling a preacher today, though, I said, you know, when I pastored for about 3 years, after I left and began my deputation, I believe the Lord spoke to me one day in Bible study and told me, spoke to my heart, and like this, said, there's a lot of things you preached that was the truth. There's a lot of things you preached that should have been preached. There's a lot of things you took a stand on the Word of God that you should have taken a stand on, but there's a lot of things you've preached you really never have experienced. Now, I'm not talking about practicing, but there's a lot of things you never have experienced. They just never came up. And he said, I think it's about time you experienced some of those things. And my, we've been experiencing a lot of things since we've been on deputation. I'll guarantee you, I've had folks come up to me and said, well, I think we ought to have some missionaries here at home rather than send them to the foreign field. And I said, well, you're half right. I think we ought to have some here at home, but I think we ought to have them overseas too. Amen. And I've had folks that say, well, when we get things going around here, then we're going to start supporting foreign missions. Well, that's just not the way it works.
No, right.
It's just not the way it works. But I've learned a lot of things. And anyway, I'd like to share with you something right quick that the Lord gave me the other day, and I'm not going to preach it, but I want to say this, that I believe God has some, don't want to use the word law, really. I'm not talking about legalistic things, but I'm saying that God has some automatic laws in this world. And, for instance, the law of gravity. You know, I've heard everything that goes up must come down. And that used to be true before men went out past gravity, and it's not particularly so anymore. But to most of us, we pitch a ball up, well, it's going to come down. And that doesn't mean to say that God's standing there with a ping pong paddle, and every time you throw it up, he knocks it back down. I mean, he just spoke the word, and there's some automatic laws that he has put in by his word, and
Amen. You
throw it up, it's going to come back down because of his word. But I believe his word also has some things concerning missions that God has set in order, and some things that God has placed that this is the way it is. And I think it'd be good if we could learn these things.
Amen.
First of all, going and sending. There's no going without sending. Amen?
Right.
And if there's no one going, there's no one for you to send. Amen? And over in Ezra, and if you want to turn there, be fine. That's the only one I'll ask you to turn to. But in Ezra chapter 1, I noticed some things there that's a good example about going and sending. It says in Ezra chapter 1, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth." Now, let me stop right there. Of course, he goes on and says some other things, but he said, he has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. Really, the Lord has commissioned us.
Amen.
To advance on all the kingdoms.
That's right.
Of this world. Amen? Amen. With the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But anyway, he goes on and says that the Lord hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has charged me to build an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Of course, God wants us to build him some houses in this earth. I'm not talking about a physical structure, but I'm talking about building a church, building some people that'll be saved and serve God and go out and evangelize some more. But it says, "Who is there among you all of his people?" And by the way, that's the only one God calls to go is his people.
Amen.
There's a lot of people going that's not his people, but that's beside the point. The only one God really calls is his people.
Amen.
His God, excuse me, "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up
Amen.
To Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel." He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. By the way, it says, "Let him go up." It said, didn't make him. It said, "Let him go up." Amen. And he was asking for volunteers,
right,
for some of them to go and to build a house of God. And but anyway, that's the man that's going. And verse 4 says, "And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him," that is the one that's going,
Amen.
"To build a house, with silver and with gold and with goods and with beast, and besides the freewill offerings for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." In other words, besides your tithes and offering the house of God, you ought to give gold, silver, and goods
Amen.
For the man that's going. Amen.
Amen.
And so there's almost an automatic law there of going and sending. God's sending some that's going, but those that are going and those that are staying ought to be able and willing to send those who are going.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So going and sending. I believe there's another one of hearing and believing. Of course, Romans 10, 14, we all know that, very familiar with that. By the way, there's also something else there too about going and sinning in Romans. If I can find it. "How shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent?" Amen. But anyway, hearing and believing. "How then shall they call on him?" Of course, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It said, "How shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" For a man to be saved, he must hear the word of God. Now, I don't know where you believe this or not, but I personally believe there's not only going to be different degrees of reward in heaven for those that are saved, and I believe that. He talks about receiving rewards in heaven, and I believe there'll be different degrees of reward, different kinds of rewards, depending on what you have gone through, like this brother preached last night. But I also believe there's going to be different degrees of punishment in hell.
Yes, amen.
Because he said it's going to be more tolerable, it's going to be easier in the day of judgment for those in Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for Jerusalem and some of those cities that had the word of God, had the Lord Jesus preaching to them personally, than it is for those folks. If I had to go to hell, I don't. Thank God I don't. Not because of me, not because of anything I've done to justify myself, but because of what Jesus has done for me and gave me the grace and the faith to believe on him and believe that he, anyway, if I had to go to hell, I'd a lot rather go to hell from deepest, darkest Africa that never even heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than I had from any street corner in America. Amen. That's had the word of God many, many times. But anyway, hearing and believing is another, I believe, sort of automatic law that God has set. You must hear before you can believe, and you must believe before you can be saved.
That's right,
and so if they ever expect to, if we ever see those folks saved, they must believe. And before they can believe, they must hear, and they ain't about to hear unless somebody goes and tells them and shows them. Amen? And so there are some going and some sending. Now, the law is the law of giving and receiving.
Amen.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Amen.
Now, if you want to receive, how do you receive? You give something.
That's right.
And the more you give, the more you're going to receive. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that's just the way it is. giving and receiving. Now, we could go through a bunch of examples of that, but anyway, the last one is sowing and reaping.
Amen.
Sowing and reaping. There's no reaping unless there's some sowing. And almost all the examples given in God's Word is talking about sowing the seed of God's Word. And if we'll sow the seed of God's Word, we'll see some reaping of that seed. Amen?
Amen.
In the barn. I mean, the seed will be in the barn. I mean, there'll be some folks saved because we were faithful to sow. Of course, I believe that also could be related to giving. If you'll give, you'll also reap. Amen? And we're just receiving.
Amen.
I jotted down an example here. It might be pretty corny, but I think it's a good example. But you know, you take, when you go to the store and buy corn to sow in a field, well, you buy corn, don't you? I mean, one grain, regardless whether you call it a grain or whatever you call it, it's a corn. Amen? Anyway, if you'll examine one ear of corn, there's approximately 16 rows of corn on that one ear of corn. That makes sense? You understand what I'm talking about? All right. Plus, there's about 42 little corns. You read Mark 4, 28. There's 42 little corns on each row. All right, that's 672 little corns on that one ear. And the ones I've raised, some of them only had one sometime, but most of them had three or four. And anyway, if it bear four ears on that one stalk, you're talking about 2,688 little corns from one corn.
That's right. Amen.
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 I mean, you sow just a little bit, and God's going to let you reap a whole bunch.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Praise the Lord.
Anyway, I thank you. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, brother. Amen.